Campari.
I'm wondering for someone who never had something to do with a satsang and who is hearing that even maybe for the first time, and who is absolutely innocent and ignorant. And you mentioned also before, like dealing with all the thoughts, and you know, when this whole chapter and this gift, when it's when you're getting with that in touch for the first time, it also could be pretty weird, or it's like because suddenly you start questioning yourself or reflecting on things which you maybe haven't thought about. Because I also can remember, like in 2008, like my whole world was finished. Like when I was at the satsang in, and I even couldn't grasp it. But it was like the whole world was upside down. So I think at the beginning, when you're listening to you and also to satsangs, it's like, what's going on here? and going back to that starting point, and also for this practical reasons in life and daily life, and as ordinary human beings, and as you said, the mind is also very tricky, is when something is burdening us, you know, like the thoughts are coming, and it's usually not like, okay, the 100,000 thoughts per day, it's usually one thought. And we feel, no, we don't want to think about it. And then we suppress it, and then it comes like a tsunami. And one thought is coming so strong, and we cannot, sometimes we cannot manage to resist or drop. How can we deal with that in very practical day-to-day issue?
Let this thought come and eat you up. Because like this you learn the best, whether you liked it or not. This very practical day-to-day, the question was very much out of the practical day-to-day life, and my answer is also very much, let it come and eat you up. Even disturb your peace or disturb your harmony. You were just walking, enjoying, and suddenly this tsunami came back in 10 times fold force because you rejected it 8 times, 9 times, but the 10th time it came stronger, then let it come and eat you up and see the result and have the experience and for yourself. Is it worth it? Because your friend, your master, your teacher can tell you 500 times, no, you are the one that is precious. You are the diamond. You are. And from that point of focus, any thought is allowed to come. It's not like we reject thoughts. No, for God's sake. To reject thoughts, it's another concept. Thoughts are not good, they're not allowed. This is a typical mistake that many people, especially in the beginning, when they start to watch this phenomenon of thoughts disturbing our peace, they have the other thought, how to keep the thoughts away. And they try to focus, and they heard some
meditation,
and they heard some satsang teachers, and they heard this party and this other guys, they're floating and flooding the market, and they create another thought, how to create gap between the thoughts and me, another thought. And I say, no, just remember you are here, you are present, love yourself, remember I am is God, I am is the absolute, and let anything that wants to arise come and let it rise. Don't fight with it, because by fighting against something you give it energy, your attention, in this case expressed as fight or rejection, gives these things energy. Let them come. And if they have a message to deliver, let the message in front of your feet. Take your time to look at the message. You're the one to decide. Some might be some value, some usually not. Not so much value. Out of 100 thoughts, maybe one thought was really valuable, because there are some valuable thoughts. We have to deal also in this world which is consisting of thoughts and patterns and concept. I'm not against this. But being always with yourself and putting the focus on your self-awareness and being with yourself, you will find that the so-called unwanted thoughts that eat up at least 90% of our peace, they will start to disappear. But those thoughts that you need to have in order to do practical things in your daily life, they will start to be more clear and more focused because you are more clear and more focused. By not rejecting the thoughts, you will not achieve by rejecting the thoughts. But by focusing on who you are, the thoughts themselves will be rearranging. There will be less unwanted thoughts coming up and coming up till the point that you have really the feeling, there are no thoughts if I don't want thoughts. But if I want some thoughts because I need to do something, they're coming. And in a very good structure, in very good order. Like when you ask me something and I answer, I don't have any prepared answer. But the moment I'm with myself, the answer comes in an appropriate, I hope, appropriate, understandable way, in a structured, organized, and honest out of myself. Because if I had prepared and prepaid answers, they would be dead. Prepared and prepaid answers. there would be a joke. It's not real. It would be a conserve, as they say. So trusting life means also you trust that everything, even thoughts, are welcome. Let them come. The focus is I am. Nothing can harm me, nothing can kill me, nothing can destroy me. I'm indestructible, I'm deathless, I'm pure presence. And this is why actually I'm trying to pass on this gift, to give courage. I don't teach how to avoid thoughts, no way. There are many other gurus who try to teach people how to avoid this or how to transform bad thoughts in good thoughts and all these kind of things. I'm not busy with that, not at all. It's enough to focus that you are... your beingness is God in action, and slowly a shift will start to happen by itself without any effort. The more awareness and focus on who you are, the more precise, effective, and practical the thoughts will present them to you, because you are the boss.
So meditation is quite easy, and we really have a lot of power.
Absolutely. Meditation is another name for being focused on who you are. And forget about the meditator and the meditation process. The result of meditation is to be focused, to be present and open, innocent. The mind works the best if the boss, the owner of the mind, is open and present. But you see, if he preoccupied and does certain thoughts, reject certain thoughts and welcomes other wanted ones, he's busy, he's occupied, wanting, not wanting. Open, present yourself to innocence. And the thoughts, they follow you, by the way. They follow you. They realize, I'm not wanted, it's not fun. She doesn't even look at me today. They don't come, unwanted thoughts, they don't come, they don't appear anymore.
So how does it happen then that we're so easily driven away by these misconceptions about meditation, spirituality, all the different approaches? Because listening to you, it's such a simple, honest, humble, easy thing to do. I mean, we even do not have to do something. There is no effort, so effortless. And at the same time, we are steering around the pot. And how can that happen?
Because our interest, where we pay attention to, is defining the direction of our development in a spiritual sense, or where the attention goes. The energy follows, they say. So we must have some unconscious contract to follow things that disturb our peace without being aware of it. We have been taught to follow some principles that are not healthy for us. We see it in ourselves, in the society. We're not aware of those. And I just make aware, hey, you're good, you're perfect, you're lovable, you're a beautiful being. Problems are there, yeah, but you don't worry, you will manage all the problems. If you believe in yourself, if you love yourself, this is the Alpha and the Omega, as Jesus used to call it. Out of this, many unimaginable things, help will come. Trust in yourself. God is nothing else but trust. If we don't do this, it means we are free to not do this. This is also the greatest gift. You know, we are not puppets that God plays with us as he likes, because there is no God outside of ourselves. We are creating the troubles unconsciously by not having absolute trust. Even if it's difficult, whatever that is, I will manage. And I trust that I will do it. I will manage. Whatever needs to be managed. By just staying with your loving self, in love, in trust. Because love attracts love. Doubt attracts doubt. Fight attracts fight. Wanting to be on the right side attracts exactly this kind of people also who want to be on the right side. And then immediately, because two people cannot have with different positions right, so it immediately attracts fight. You see, that's really a shift needed. A shift needed without interfering and manipulating in our mind. Let the mind work. It is a very good tool, very good instrument. Let the thoughts work. They're very good, very helpful. Just a shift of the focus on self-love, on self-remembrance, of trust, in presence. And slowly, slowly, the so-called problematic and difficult situations and thoughts, they will not feel attracted and attractive anymore. They look for other people that look for them desperately. Trouble, where are you? Come. Yeah. It is really like this, you know. It's really like this. Okay. Otherwise, there would no war exist, because there is no necessity for war unless we want it. This is so clear to see. War by itself does not exist. It doesn't happen over us unless we want it and create it and manifest it. It's exactly the same, but there's a war outside we can see, but there's also the war inside, which we cannot see because we feel or we are victims of situations. No, no, no. And the thing to understand is that we are not having to feel guilty of things that happen to us. We don't do anything wrong. This guilt trip that we put ourselves, something I must be doing wrong. Because also Pari said this, we create all these troubles for... No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean. Guilt is not needed at all. At all. We don't do anything wrong. We just put our awareness and focus in something else outside of us. Mm-hmm.
And is this concept of guilt isn't a part of the religion?
Of course. So, of course.
Feeling guilty and...
Of course. Religion lives from...
Guilt.
Fear, guilt, bad feeling, bad conscience. Mm. You did something. And the concept of sin. Mm. No, this is sin. Mm. This is not good. You go to hell. Punishment and enforcement. In German, they call it Belohnung, Bestrafung. Jede Religion, every religion has these two things. You're being enforced, reinforced for good actions, and you're going to be punished for bad. It's such a childish game that we have created called religion. That's why I speak about.
Yeah, and who decides what is good and what is bad?
The priest. The books, the holy books, they say what is good and what is bad. It's written there. Don't look at the wife of your neighbor. Don't look at the garden vegetables of your neighbor. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't be jealous. It's a kindergarten what we have created. That's why we need facts.